broccoli and drink a lot of beer. You should be good and happy that there's someone you can eat. A million people every day are starving in the street. Your daddy's in the gutter with the wretched and the poor. Your mama's in the kitchen with a can of Cycle 4. There's garbage in the water, there's poison in the sky. I guess it won't be long before we're all gonna die. Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Hey, hey, everybody. Thanks for joining. Gonna come out front, right up front, and say I wasn't going to do this episode. I was just gonna pass and let another week pass without an episode. For those of my regular listeners, I try to do bi-weekly episodes every other week or sometimes twice a month. But anyway, doing a podcast, it's a form of therapy to me. It relaxes me, makes me feel better because of the primary subject matter, movies. I love it. It's my thing. It's in the title. It's a form of therapy, the podcast and movies for me. So a twofer right here. So saying that to say this, I'm glad you joined me because you all, I appreciate every single one of you. I do it for y'all. And let's get to it. So this is the second annual Sigmund Cinema birthday celebration. I did my first one last year celebrating my 40th birthday. In that episode, I covered some of my favorite movies, just the movie year in general from that year I was born, 1981. So I'm going to do something a little different here on my 41st birthday. So in 1982, I would have turned one. So what we're going to do here, every 10 years after that, when I turn 11, when I turn 21, when I turn 31, hell, and this year, so that's basically 82, 92, 02, 12, and 22 now. I'm going to pick a random movie from that year. I already randomly picked, so I could talk about it. I'm going to pick a random movie. So let me tell you how I randomized it before we get started. I put a bunch of movies, wrote it down, put it in a hat. I put three movies from each year. And I shook it up 1 year. I got the movie I'm going to do first from 82 and so on and so on. So that's how I randomized it. And I am glad. Oh, I was so happy. I wanted it to be another movie from 1982, but I'm going to do a full episode on that because it's 82, 2022. The anniversary is coming up, the 40th anniversary. But anyway, the first movie I randomly drew was 1982's Rocky III. Rocky III starring Sylvester Stallone as the titular character, Rocky Balboa. And of course, I don't know if people are going to agree with me. I think most people agree with me, then they don't. But I'm going to talk about that during this. So, Sylvester Stallone is Rocky. Talia Shire is Adrian. Burt Young is Paulie. Burgess Meredith is Mickey. Mr. T, as the best Rocky antagonist in any Rocky movie, as Clubber Lang. Carl Weathers returns as Apollo Creed. There's a cameo by a certain wrestler in here. I haven't decided if I'm going to talk about him, but we'll leave that there. So anyway, Rocky II was the second Rocky movie directed by Sylvester Stallone. And let me say this. Rocky I, the original Best Picture winner, is great. It is what it is. Rocky II is okay, in my opinion. I liked it. But Rocky III, in my opinion, is everything that everybody usually remembers about Rocky, about the Rocky character and the Rocky lore. And we're going to get into that. most things, because some people want to say, I'm going to bring something else up. So anyway, like I said, Clubber Lang, Mr. T, this is the villain. Now, the thing is, people remember Drago from Rocky IV because he was, the way Drago was designed, Drago was a one-note character, a very thin character. But Dolph Lundgren looked great, and Stallone wrote him some memorable one-liners. If he dies, he dies. I must break you. That's that. Keep that in mind. Now we have Clubber Lang, played by Mr. T. One of, if not the only fully fleshed out, okay, putting Apollo to the side. Carl Weathers did his thing. But now, Apollo Creed wasn't necessarily antagonistic to the fact he was a businessman and a boxer first. That's why Rocky got the chance in the first movie. But Clubber Lang is just pure mean. But this goes to why I love his character so much. He's not mean for the sake of being mean. He's mad and he's motivated to want to fight Rocky for that belt because it's justified. For those of you who haven't seen the movie, Rocky is the defending champion, which he won from the second movie. He finally beat Apollo, which he lost to by decision in the first movie. Rocky is now the champ, and he's been defending his title, numerous title defenses, and he finds out that his people have been basically cherry-picking the fights. Not necessarily fixed, but picking the easier opponents. And it's a great scene where Mickey, Burgess Meredith, he doesn't want Rocky to fight Clubber Lang because he knows Clubber Lang is a killer. It's a great scene. So, the memorable moments in Rocky, not really a spoiler. The damn movie's 40 years old. Even if you haven't seen it, it's still worth watching. So before the fight, actually, Mickey starts to have some heart problems, chest pain. There we go, chest pain. So Rocky is thrown off during the fight, and Clubber Lang beats Rocky for the belt. And then Rocky goes back, and Mick dies in the movie. It's a very touching, it's a very sad moment in the movie. So here we go, what I mean about fleshed out characters. A returning character comes back, Apollo Creed. This is one of the things I love about Rocky III. They brought Carl Weathers back. The only thing we really knew about him is, from the first two movies, is he was a great boxer and he was a good businessman. And that he was mad at Rocky, that he went the distance with him, blah, blah, blah. But here, we get to learn so much more about Apollo Creed. I think this is the best movie that features his character. And we come to learn why he is the way he is. It's great. I'm glad they gave this to Carl Weathers for his Apollo character. This is who we remember from the series. Now, what do we have? Yeah, I'm going to talk about it. So there's a cameo in the movie. Rocky has a celebrity charity fight, and he fights a wrestler named Thunderlips, played by the racist asshole Hulk Hogan. So it's an entertaining scene for what it is. It's very comical by design. It is what it is, and it's an entertaining scene. It was at the, I wouldn't say the height, it's right when wrestling was about to blow up. It was a little bit before WrestleMania, and that was gonna happen a year or two later. But anyway, Rocky III, in my opinion, the best training montage in any of the Rocky movies, with Apollo and Rocky training with each other. And one of the best lines in the movie, we're gonna talk about movie quotes, one of the best lines. So I'm skipping ahead. So Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed returns after Rocky loses to Clubber to train him. So Apollo is training Rocky. Rocky is getting tired. He's not blocking the hook. Yeah, he's hooking. And Rocky's not blocking. He's tired. And Apollo gets mad. Come on, Rock, what's wrong? We'll do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. And one of my favorite lines, there is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. And then the audio blends into the fades into the next scene, and Rocky is looking in the mirror, frustrated. This is just good filmmaking by Stallone. So Rocky IV, we're talking a little bit about that now. A friend of mine has it in his heart that Rocky IV is better than Rocky III. And this is just ridiculous, man. So first of all, Rocky IV is 30% montage. So for the most part, a montage could lend itself very well to a story. But when your movie is an hour and 35, hour and 40 minutes, and 30% of it is montage, that means you might have been a little lazy in the screenwriting process. Because most screenwriters write a montage into the screenplay. But anyway, and Drago is just one of the most overrated characters in the Rocky series. There's no development there. And let me scratch that a little bit. There would be later. I'm talking about in Rocky IV. There is no development for this Drago character. His character is so overrated. The only thing the character has going for him, what he did, is he does what he does to Apollo and those couple of one-liners. Like, come on, man. Getting Clubber Lang. Oh, when he shows up at the, they're giving Rocky a statue, and Clubber Lang shows up. He wants to get a fight. Like, don't give him no statue. Give him guts. Yeah. And Rocky's retiring also. He announced he's retired. Like, yeah, he don't want to fight me. He want to retire. I'm ranked number one. One. That means I'm the best. Clubber Lang and Mr. T, give him credit. This is technically his second movie, but I think it was filmed first. I don't know. I need to check on that. As a new actor, Mr. T is pretty much being himself. I know that, y'all. I know that. But he's doing his thing. Anyway, let me get off this movie. Rocky III. I give Rocky III 4 stars. You know, people complain that the series, each subsequent film gets worse and worse. And I agree. I think Rocky One is great. It is what it is. Rocky II is a very good movie. I think Rocky III is excellent. And then 4 is where it starts to fall off. And 5 is, oh, shit, it is what it is. But the series later on is brought back with all of the movies, Rocky Balboa, and then the Creed spinoffs. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it there for 1982. That's the movie I drew. The movie was, of course, a hit on a $17 million budget. It made $125 million in North America alone. It didn't get a worldwide release. Not that I see. But, yeah, that is what it is. It's easily attainable on Blu-ray and DVD off Amazon or something. There's no 4K version of the movie, not yet, but of course it will be. So, and it is streaming, because I love y'all. Let me see where it's streaming. You can rent it on Apple TV, and if you have Max Go, you can stream it on Max Go. Other than that, buy the DVD. Just buy the damn Blu-ray DVD. Anyway, let's move on. What do we got? 1992, when on May 7th is my birthday, by the way. You probably listen to this on May 6th. But anyway, May 7th is my birthday. May 7th, 1992, I would turn 11 years old. And I want to talk about this movie. So, once again, and also for 1992, check out Rec League Podcast. Coincidentally, the entire episode, most recent one, was about the year of 1992. 1992 was a great year in movies, probably an underrated year. There were numerous actors and actresses who starred in multiple movies. But my movie for this episode, this right here, I drew out, I actually mentioned in that episode, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit here, is 1992, well, duh, that's the year we're talking about, but Rapid Fire, starring Brandon Lee, starring the late Brandon Lee. So with Brandon Lee, we who passed way too early from a very preventable accident. Not going to get into that on this episode, but RIP to Brandon Lee. So Rapid Fire is a 1992 film by Dwight H. Little, starring Lee and Powers Booth, Nick Mancuso, Raymond J. Berry, and C's Ma. So what are we doing here? Excuse me. Speaking of Brandon Lee, when we talk Brandon Lee, we always bring up what is, and for good reason, his best movie, The Crow. We always talk about The Crow. And hardcore fans, some will go back and look at the movies that he did do, which is very few. He did Kung Fu, the movie, he did a movie called Laser Mission. And there's another movie, blanking on the name of it at the moment. But anyway, this movie is definitely Brandon Lee's underrated movie. It's a silly action movie, but not silly as in bad and boring. It's your typical action flick. So I'm in my last couple of episodes, you would probably hear me mentioning this. Coming out of the 80s, there was a certain style these movies would have, these action flicks. And this movie, for the most part, I mean, with no like big special effects, as in visual effects, but this movie is just real explosions, real squibs, classic fight scenes. So the movie is about a student, Jake Lowe, played by Lee. He witnesses a killing by a big-time mobster who the police and the government, the feds, have been trying to get for a long time. So he goes into protective custody because they want him to, of course, finger him in court to point him out. But anywho, during this, he gets caught in the middle of a feud and drug war between the Italians and the Chinese. It's a really decent movie. Great fight scenes, like I said, great action scenes. Brandon Lee co-choreographed all of the fight scenes in the movie, and still, they hold up great to this day. So, a lot of you might not have seen Rapid Fire. It's a good movie. I'll give it 3.5 stars. But definitely check out Rapid Fire. Let's check into the availability. Nope, but first, before the availability, how did this movie do? I had that written down. Was my little notes. There it is. So it didn't do terrible. On a $10 million budget, it made made $14.5 million, rounding up on that. So, not too bad, but the movie was, doing my research, it was dumped into theaters and with little advertisement and whatnot. So, availability on Rapid Fire. So, it's technically on Blu-ray, but it was released by a boutique company, and it was to a limited 3,000 copies, but that was 2018, so I'm pretty sure all of those are gone. So, Blu-ray. I'm sorry, I just said Blu-ray. DVD. What is the availability on DVD? It is... Depending on where you go to get it, yeah, it's very hard to find, unfortunately, on physical media. But, of course, your boy's looking out for you. Let's see. Rapid Fire is available on Stars to stream. So if you're a subscriber of Stars, you could definitely check out Rapid Fire. You can rent it on Apple TV. Apple TV always coming through. So all of the Stars streaming platforms, Roku, Stars from Amazon, and the regular one. If you have DirecTV streaming, you can stream it. So, yeah, physical media isn't as good as it should be, but you can stream it these different ways. And I recommend you do it. It's a very good movie. It should have more recognition. Brandon Lee, his legacy deserves to be remembered, and this is a good way to preserve it. It's a nice, simple action flick. So, gonna leave it there. What do we have next? 2002 coming up. All right, y'all. Sorry for the tease. Let me take a little break. Hear what I have to say, and we're gonna come back with the 2002 movie. Hang in there. And we're back. We are back. Hey, hey. Now, get right to it. Where were we? We left off 2002. So in 2002, yours truly turned 21. I was legal drinking age in 2002. 2002, another good year in movies. Had some good picks thrown into the hat. Which movie did I pull from it? One of my favorites. So let me tell you also what I did with these movies. I put in, according to my scale, one bad movie, one good movie, one great movie. That's how I did it. So on this list right now, this one will go under the category of great, super, super duper underrated. Let's get to the name of it. Steven Spielberg's Minority Report, starring Tom Cruise. This is a couple of years before he would be jumping on couches, promoting another Steven Spielberg movie, War of the Worlds. But we're not talking about that. So on Minority Report, based on a Philip K. Dick short story. I'm glad I saw this movie. Remember, $1, $2 movie theaters, the dollar show is what we called it in the Midwest, second run movie theaters. I saw this at one of those. I didn't see it when it first came out. And I'm glad I saw this wonderful movie on the big screen. So, Minority Report, what is it about? In the future, the year 2054 to be exactly, crime virtually is eliminated from Washington, D.C. And there's a type of law enforcement unit, squad called Pre-Crime. They have three gifted humans who can predict when somebody is about to murder somebody else. So they use these and they get visions. They can control everything and look and see where the crime is going to take place, and they go and stop it. And Tom Cruise is the chief of the pre-crime unit, and he gets supposedly framed for a murder. And he has to solve why he might or might not kill this person and who set it up so that this would happen. And of course, he's being chased by his own team. Oh, my goodness. This movie, for some reason, nobody talks about it. It's like, this movie is fucking fantastic. It has a very unique look to it. The cinematography is fantastic. Of course, Steven Spielberg is Steven freaking Spielberg. I remember hearing something on Twitter like a month ago talking. It's some bullshit talking about Steven Spielberg doesn't know how to direct action or something like that. I'm like, okay. So watch this movie for whatever goofball has said that. I can't stand Twitter, I tell you. Like a buddy of mine, Nick, said, of course, Twitter has your bad takes, but there's an exclusive corner of Twitter where there are just bad takes. I'm sorry. I meant to say first hot takes. Yeah. Twitter has a lot of hot takes on it, but There's an exclusive corner that has nothing but bad takes. That's what I meant to say. And oh my God, that's where this, that's what this Spielberg doesn't know. Oh my God. Y'all just, but anyway, back to Minority Report. Boy, it's a mystery thriller, sci-fi mystery thriller. And the mystery part about this movie is very involving. It brings you in. It's not predictable at all. Certain things happen. I'm not going to spoil this movie for you. It's Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg's running theme through most of his movies is here, present. It's about, he has a theme about fathers throughout his movie. Usually it's a flawed father or an absent father, but it's definitely here in this movie. I don't know what Steven did to piss the Academy off this year, but this movie was virtually ignored by the Academy. It should have got numerous nominations. Cinematography. Look at this movie. It is not on 4K, which is nuts, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to double check that as I speak. But anyway, just even on regular blue, the cinematography for this movie is amazing. Why? Screenplay, which I mentioned is based on a Philip K. Dick short story, that should have got some notoriety. It's just nothing. So the funny thing about this is, yeah, my Minority Report is not on 4K, which is a crime. The interesting thing about this movie, I mentioned nobody really talks about it when Tom Cruise or Steven Spielberg comes up for some reason. The movie wasn't a flop, like not at all. It made almost $400 million. And that's a lot. And this is 20 years ago, y'all. So that might not sound a lot by today's standards, but it is pretty damn decent then. The movie had a budget of north of $100 million. I forget the exact number. But yeah, $102 million. It made $360 worldwide. So it did better internationally. And it did okay in the U.S., gross on $132 million. So, movie is easily available, Blu-ray, DVD, not available on 4K, Fubo, DirecTV, and Spectrum. You can, if you're all subscribed to these streaming services, you can watch it. But even without that, the movie costs $9 brand new on Blu-ray from Amazon. Get it if you don't own it. If you haven't seen it, get in and watch it. If you've seen it, watch it again. It deserves to have a revisit. This is the true definition of underrated. It deserves more recognition. I don't know what went wrong. I don't know what happened. Nobody talks about it. But anyway, let me quit dwelling on that one. We're coming close to the end. I'm sorry to keep y'all. So this next one. Oh, excuse me. This next one is interesting. It's a rather expensive independent movie. And with Minority Report, it's not underrated. It's underseen, I would say, in a word, if you wanted to use that. So let's backtrack a bit. We're in 2012. 2012 is the year that yours truly turned 31. So here I am, 31 years old. And this is the only movie on the list that I haven't seen. Okay, that's not true. So Rocky III, I was too young to have seen in theaters because I was one. I might have been there. I hope my parents weren't one of those asshole couples that took a one-year-old child to a movie. A movie like this, who wants to see? But anyway, so 2012, the movie I drew out the hat, is a movie directed by three people. Tom Tykwer, Lana Wachowski, and Lily Wachowski. The movie is Cloud Atlas, based on the novel by David Mitchell. So, I mentioned this movie was... Boy, look at that. This movie has the same exact budget as Minority Report, but this movie was excuse me, not backed by a major studio. It was distributed by a major studio, which is Warner Brothers. So in the when they get to the numbers first with this. So in the States, I'm sorry, North America, it didn't do very well. It made only $32 million, which is not too good at all. But there's a but here. Internationally, it made $103 million. So 80% of its gross came internationally with a total, with a worldwide total of $130 million. So not the most profitable movie in the world, but it did its thing. So anyway, Cloud Atlas, starring Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, Hugh Grant, Hugo Weaving, Jim Broadbent, Jim Sturgis, just to name a few, Keith David, James Darcy, hell of a cast. Susan Sarandon is in here. Look at this. Now, this movie, I'll admit, I haven't watched in a while, but it is such an intriguing, excuse me, mic cut off, intriguing piece of work that you just, out of curiosity, have to check it out. The movie, reading the plot of it, it takes place over five decades. No, I'm sorry, not decades. It's 50 years. It takes place over five centuries. Basically, it explores. There's no easy way to explain what it's about simply. So it explores how the actions of individual lives impact one another in the past, present, and the future. And as one soul is shaped from a killer into a hero, and an act of kindness ripples across the centuries, the aforementioned centuries, to inspire a revolution. So, movie that takes place over 500 years, that spans across 500 years, it's non-linear, if I remember it correctly. But the thing is, the movie is 3 hours, technically 2 hours and 50 minutes. I remember watching this movie. I've seen it about three times. Excuse me. First time I'm going to admit it, I was a little confused. I probably wasn't paying as close attention as I should have to it when I was watching it. Then I rewatched it in the last couple of years, and I was like, I get it. I see what they're doing with it. This movie, I'm glad a movie like this exists, because a movie, this is 10 years ago, a movie, hell, not even 5 years ago, I don't think a movie like this could have gotten made, even independently, which the Wachowskis managed to pull off, because it asks a lot from his audience. It asks you to pay attention to the details. It asks you to basically let yourself go and give yourself to the movie. It is a great story. Once you realize, whether it's on your first viewing or your second or your third, chances are you might have to watch it more than one time. But I truly believe the movie is designed for that. It's very rewarding each subsequent viewing that you have. Like I said, I watched it three times and it has gotten better and better and better. So there's not really much I can say. Even if I tried to explain to you, I couldn't. There's, like I said, there's like seven major, major characters throughout the years. Tom Cruise, Halle Berry, and Jim Broadbent plays numerous, multiple characters across the span. Hugh Grant, everybody does. And throughout the 500 years that the movie spans over, they play good guys, they play bad guys, and good guys again, and bad guys again. There's one actor who, for the multiple characters that he plays, he only plays bad guys in the movie. So he's the movie's straightforward, no matter who he's playing, antagonist. I'm going to spoil it for you. You have to see for yourself. So readily, easily available. Blu-ray. So basically, it was on Prime. Prime literally just took it off, but you can rent it for $4. Apple TV, But the DVD, I'm sorry, the Blu-ray, you could probably get it for $10. And if you're a movie collector, just buy it. Just go get it. And shout out to the Wachowskis for trying something different. And I think this movie succeeds. Their status as filmmakers is interesting. I wish they could have got the marketing that they had for Jupiter Ascending for this movie. I think it more people should have saw this. But Cloud Atlas, give that movie 4.5 stars. Definitely watch it. So that's pretty much it. That takes us to this year, 2022, which on May 7th, which is a Saturday, I will turn 41. So, of course, as of the time of recording, which is the day before my birthday, still early in the movie season, but I'll leave you with the movie that is my favorite so far. That would be The Northman. That is definitely my favorite movie of the year so far. Amazing. I'm surprised the movie, I'm not surprised it got made, but it is a fantastic movie, great looking movie, superbly acted movie. If you have not seen The Northman, I highly recommend you check it out. Fantastic score. I can imagine why a lot of people wouldn't dig it, but it is what it is. Robert Edgers, fantabulous young filmmaker. His career is only going up from here. He directed The Witch, The Lighthouse, and the one that we're talking about right now, The Northman. And of course, out of retirement, out of acting retirement, Bjork. She hadn't acted in 17 years, I think. She did a little something after Dancer in the Dark, so I'm counting that. So it's only technically 17 years. But yeah, go check that out, y'all. So in closing, I'm going to let you get out of here. Movies. Movies. I love them. I could have drawn any movie. I wish I would have got at least one bad movie. I put, man, 4 bad movies, and I didn't draw one of these bad movies. I'm probably going to do another episode. I only drew the good and the great movies, in my opinion. Or I only drew the movies that, in my opinion, are good or great. I didn't hit any of the bad ones. That would have made the episode a little more interesting, because the ones I picked, oh boy, I'm not going to name them because they might come back up in later episodes. And I mentioned earlier, there was another movie from 1982 that I was hoping that I would pick, but now, if it would have been, I would have done an entire episode on Rocky III if I would have picked The Thing. The Thing is the movie I was hoping to pull, but I'm going to do an episode dedicated to that alone in some form for its 40th anniversary, because that's one of my favorite movies of all time. That's my favorite John Carpenter movie. Halloween is a very close second, but we'll get to that. So, on Spotify, Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, give me a star rating. If you loved the episode, great. If you didn't like it too much, rate the episode according to what you thought about it. I appreciate anything. If you hated it or if you loved it, I just appreciate that you listened and gave me your time. Social media, Sigmund Cinema, Instagram, Twitter, Letterboxd, check me out. Shoot me a DM, ask questions. You want to hop on the show, have a discussion about a topic you're interested in that's related to cinema or TV shows or whatever, let me know. We'll get to it. So until then, oh, before I do my sign off, yeah, a lot of people get into dreading and overthinking as they get older. A lot of people, for obvious reasons, we don't want to go to the end. We get older. You know, we live to die, y'all. But the thing is, try to live your life to the fullest. Try to have fun. As you get older, you don't have to try not to be bitter. You know what I mean? I know people in their 50s that are even more fun than some 20-something-year-olds that I know. I'm like, to the 20-something-year-olds, why are y'all so just, you know, uptight and bitter? Yeah, I don't know everybody's story, but some of these people I'm talking about, I do know their story. And they're just whining over nothing. Enjoy your life. Try to look at life glass half full. We all have issues. You know, we might not have the job we want. We might not have the pay that we want. We might not be able to get some of the things that we want. But take a look at your life. And appreciate what you are able to get that you need. And don't dwell on your wants too much. You know, me, myself, I mentioned earlier I wasn't going to do this episode. I think I mentioned that. But if I didn't mention it, yeah, I wasn't going to record this episode because I got a lot going on right now. It's a lot. Like in my movie, man. Yeah, History of Violence. I got a lot going on. A hell of a lot. For those of you who know that, you know that. If you don't, whatever. But yeah, but this, I love doing this. It's a form of therapy to me. The podcast and movies. So it's a twofer. And it works for me. So we'll get to that soon enough, what my issues are. But I don't let them overpower me. I almost did. I didn't do what I love doing because of the shit that's going on right now. But get out of here. Enjoy y'all day. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you. Like I said, rate the episodes. Check out Good Pods. And until next time, be excellent to each other.